So today is the feast day of St. James, and for me this has a particular significance in that since the last feast of St. James, I've had the opportunity to go to Santiago de Compostela, the place where the relics of the first of the apostles to be martyred are housed. I'll refer a little bit later in the homily to that part of the world. But for now, I just want to bring into context a struggle that we all have. In some ways, I think we all want Jesus to respond to us in the way that Salome, the mother of James and John, wanted Jesus to respond to her. Declare, Lord. Just make it happen. We want God, we want Jesus, in some ways, to act in a way that is more definitive, more clearly articulated, so we can just see really clearly that we are on his side, and to have places of honor, isn't that what we would want? It's interesting that Psalm 126 was the psalm for today. Psalm 126. It's part of a series of psalms that begins in Psalm 120 and goes to Psalm 134. These 15 psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent. For you see, when the Jewish people went to Jerusalem for the three major festivals, as they were journeying to the city, going up, ascending to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs. And Psalm 126, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out bearing their sheaves for sowing will indeed bring about a great harvest. But what's so significant about that psalm is that to live in a world like this, to be pilgrims on earth, is not to ask Jesus to declare that we would have places of honor, but rather it's to come to a deep understanding of what it is to be human, to follow in the way of Jesus, to be true pilgrims. At Vatican II, the Church Fathers came out with a document called Gaudium et Spes, which means the joys and the hopes. And in this document, of whom St. John Paul II was the primary author as a young bishop, they wrote these beautiful words. Christ, the new Adam, is the very revelation of the mystery of the Father and of his love. And he, Jesus, fully reveals man to himself and brings to light his most high calling. Now, Mom thought the highest calling was honor. Make sure the boys got those places, Jesus, at your left and your right. And we know that the other 10, when they heard about it, they were indignant. How dare she? What does she think she's doing? But what is our high calling? What is our highest calling? Well, the bishop who penned Gaudium et Spes was the Pope in 1989. And World Youth Day was held in this huge park just outside of Santiago de Compostela. Those of us who went from St. Peter's last year had the privilege of going to that park, and there's this beautiful monument, this statue of St. John Paul II. And looking down to the city where the cathedral is with the relics of St. James, St. John Paul II, picking up on what had been said in Gaudium et Spes in the 1960s, said in 1989 these words. Because we have been created, we have been called, we have been destined first and foremost to serve God in the image and likeness of Christ, who as Lord of all creation, as center of the cosmos of history, showed his royal power through obedience unto death, and was glorified in the resurrection. Let me just stop there for a second and reread a bit of that. Who did John Paul II say Jesus is? The Lord of all creation, the center of the cosmos and of history. John Paul II wrote that, who experienced the horror of Nazism. John Paul II wrote that, who was a bishop under communist Polish rule. The amazing thing about St. John Paul II was the perspective he had on life, because he saw Jesus as the center. And because Jesus is at the center, he would go on to write these words: "The kingdom of God is revealed by means of this service, which is the fullness and measure of all human service. It does not act according to human criterion." What are the human criterion? Well, he lists them: power, might, and money. That's what Mum had in mind. That's what Salome was asking. That's what she was declaring. "Lord, make sure my boys have power, might, and money." That's human criterion. "No," says St. John Paul II, "each one of us is asked for a total readiness to follow Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve." Beloved, this is the way to true greatness. But this is not a natural way, it's a supernatural way. When, like James, we discover to lay down our lives for Jesus and his kingdom, the Holy Spirit can work in our souls so that we can, with St. Paul from today's first readings, declare, "We have this treasure in clay jars," so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Our last day on the Camino last September saw us at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, and I was privileged to concelebrate the Mass. And one of the most beautiful memories of that Mass was administering our Lord to the pilgrims. At 12 o'clock, the church was packed on a Friday. Most of the people there would have been under the age of 40. And as I was administering the Lord, they were coming at me in all directions. So I was turning around like this as Jesus was being given to these pilgrims. St. James and St. John, in one of the other Gospels, are the ones who say to Jesus, "Declare that we can have these seats of honor." But St. James discovered that it is in this way of true service unto death that he found his life. And now there are roots all over Spain, coming also from France, converging at Santiago de Compostela to honor the first of the apostles martyred for his faith. And so let me just conclude by praying again part of our collect. Almighty ever-living God, who consecrated the first fruits of your apostles by the blood of St. James, grant, we pray, that your church may be strengthened by his confession of faith and constantly sustained by his protection. St. James, pray for us as we ascend the heavenly road. Amen.